This is time for Lesson 77 of the Warren County Radio Bible School. You'll want to get your Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 5. And from Daniel chapter 5, we'll begin our studies of the handwriting on the wall and the downfall of Babylon. Now, while you're getting your Bible and turning to that part, I'll tell you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. We have been doing this at this location for over 100 years. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and we're going over Sunday school lessons that were written by E.A. Elam, and this lesson was written for the Sunday of July the 16th, 1922. And I'm going to read you passages and verses from the text in Daniel chapter 5, and then we'll see what old Brother Elam had to say about that in the Sunday school lessons. If you have your Bible now, look to me at Daniel chapter 5 and verse 17. And this verse says, "Then Daniel answered and said before the king, Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Nevertheless, I will read the writing unto the king, and make known unto him the interpretation." Here are the study notes from Elam. The very night when Babylon was taken, Belshazzar had made a great feast of thousands of his lords, and drank wine before the thousand. The king's wines and concubines were present. The feast was in the king's palace, and in the eyes of the world was a most brilliant affair. Feeling secure within the impregnable walls of his unrivaled fortress, Belshazzar gave this feast in the face of Cyrus's approaching army. He not only felt secure from any attacks from without, but he defied the living God. While he tasted the wine, or felt its influence, and was inflamed by it, he commanded it to be brought in the golden and silver vessels which Nebuchadnezzar his father had taken out of the temple that was in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives and his concubines might drink therefrom. These revelers and idolaters drank wine in this impious feast from vessels of the house of God, and in defiance of God praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone, Daniel 5, verses 1 through 4. This was an exaltation of the idols of the heathens above Jehovah, and a boast that they were greater than the only true and living God. During this blasphemous conduct, to the great consternation of the king, the fingers of a man's hand appeared writing over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. This astounded and terrified him. The ruddy glow of the wine instantly faded from his cheeks into the pallor of fear. His thoughts troubled him. His frame shook in terror. The joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against the other. In this condition he cried aloud for the well-known enchanters, Chaldeans, and soothsayers, and offered the following reward to one that could come and read and interpret the writing on the wall. "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed in purple and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler of the kingdom." The wise men of Babylon could neither read the writing nor make known the king's interpretation. They were unable to read it because it was not written in Chaldean letters. This increased the king's fear and perplexed his lords, Daniel 5, verses 5 through 9.
It is impossible to depict the scene. The queen, supposed to be the king's mother, because his wives and concubines sat with him at the feast, heard of the distress of the king and his lords, and told the king of Daniel in his gifts and powers, and what he had done in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel, it seemed at this time, was not well known by the king and his lords, or in their defiance of the living God, they ignored God's faithful servant. This shows the weakness and wickedness of the king. Well, Daniel spurns the king's gifts. Daniel was sent for, the case stated before him, and the reward offered him if he could interpret the writing. But Daniel spurned the king's gifts, saying, "Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Nevertheless, I will read the writing unto the king, and make known unto him the interpretation." This is one of the most heroic deeds of all history. Before the king on his throne, surrounded by 1,000 of his lords and courtly ladies in this festive hall in a nightly carousal, suddenly changed in the forebodings of evil and cries of consternation, Daniel was like Paul before Agrippa in the courts of Festus, John the Baptist reproving Herod, and Elijah confronting Ahab. Well, God rules over all. I'm going to read again from Daniel chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father the kingdom and greatness and glory and majesty. And because of the greatness that he gave him, all the peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he raised up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened so that he dealt proudly, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him, and he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. He was fed like with grass, like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, until he knew that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and he setteth up over it whomsoever he will. Daniel reminded Belshazzar of what the Most High God had done for his father Nebuchadnezzar, and because of his greatness, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. If Belshazzar and his lords were drinking and praising their idols and blaspheming the God of Israel, it was the God of Israel who'd given Nebuchadnezzar the victory over the Jews and over all the nations that had made his empire universal. Whom Nebuchadnezzar would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive. Then, in the course stated here, and in Daniel 4, God taught Nebuchadnezzar that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the lowest of men. Daniel 4:17. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand and say unto him, What doest thou? For all his works are truth, and his ways justice, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Daniel 4:34-37. In Daniel 5:22-24 we read, And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thy heart, though thou knowest all these things, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of this house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine from them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver, and gold, and brass, and iron, and wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know God, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from before him, and this writing was inscribed. Daniel charged Belshazzar, one, with not humbling himself, though he knew all this. Two, with lifting up himself in blasphemy and defiance against the Lord of heaven and using the vessels of his house in a drunken feast held in worship and honor to the gods of silver, gold, brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And three, with not glorifying God, whose hand was the breath and the guidance of all his ways. Belshazzar had shut his eyes against these apparent truths and refused to learn from the facts enumerated the lessons God would teach. Shall we, in self-exaltation, refuse to learn the same lessons? Because of these sins, God put forth the part of the hand which Belshazzar saw, and this writing was inscribed. Here is the writing and the interpretation. In verse 25 we read, and this is the writing that was inscribed, Mene, Mene, Tinkle, Upharsin. Mene is repeated for the sake of emphasis. Joseph told Pharaoh his dream was doubled because the thing was established by God. It would soon come to pass, Genesis 40 and verse 32. Each word stands for a short sentence. Mene means numbered. Tinkle means weighed. And Upharsin means divisions. Those who understand the language say that Upharsin is the plural form of Perez in verse 28. The prefix U meaning and. The writer of these lessons knows nothing of that language. In verses 26 through 28 we read, this is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and brought it to an end. Tikel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. God hath numbered that kingdom. The men are compared to refuse silver in Jeremiah 6 and verse 30, and the dross of silver in Ezekiel 22:18, which are too light for genuine money when weighed. So Belshazzar in character was but dross, and refused when weighed in the balances of God's justice. How is that with us? In the same balances our character are being tested, and we must all appear before God at last in God's judgment throne. God's scales are just and accurate. He judges the world in righteousness and will do right. Everyone will be weighed separately and judged accordingly. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but Jehovah weigheth the spirits, Proverbs 16 and verse 2, and he weigheth the hearts, Proverbs 24 and verse 12. Our days are numbered. Life is the time to serve God. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if ye shall hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Hebrews 3, 7 and 8, and 14 and 15. We have abundant opportunities now in which to repent and obey God and do good. There is a hand now writing on the wall of a time, a solemn warning to us all. Shall we heed it? God is willing and ready to save. If we are lost at last, it will be because, like Belshazzar, we have shut our eyes to the truth. We're going to finish this lesson in our next class time. You might want to take it and mark in your Bibles as we are going to read Daniel chapter 5, 29, 30, and 31 that will bring this particular Sunday school lesson to a close. And then after that, we're going to go immediately into that great story that we've known from childhood, the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And we'll see how that through faith, that God subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions, Hebrews 11 and verse 33. You've listened well, class. For now, you may be dismissed.